All right, let me start today's discussion by reading from the book of Luke, chapter 16. This is our Spiritual Economic Empowerment and Development Strategy Seminar. Did I say 16 or 19? I meant to say 19, sorry. From verse 12, he said, nobleman went to a distant country to receive a kingdom for himself and then return, and he called 10 of his slaves or bond servants and gave them 10 minas and said to them, do business with these until I come back. What did he say? Do business with these until I come back. He said, but the citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. And it came about, verse 15, that when he had returned after receiving the kingdom, he ordered that these slaves to whom he had given the money be called to him in order that he might know what business they had done. And the first appeared, saying, Master, your mina has made 10 more minas. One mina being a unit of money, I think about 100 days' wages. I think a mina is about 100 denarii, all right, of those days. And he said to him, well done, good slave. Behold, you have been faithful in a very little thing, being authority over 10 cities. And second came saying, your mina master has made 5 minas. And he said to him also, you are to be over 5 cities. That is, in summary, what he said to him is that you are a faithful servant in a very little thing, but you have demonstrated the capacity, all right, to handle 5 cities. Let's jump down to verse 20. Another came saying, Master, behold your mina, which I kept put away in a handkerchief, for I was afraid of you, because you are an exacting man. You take up what you did not lay down and reap what you did not sow. And then the master said to him, by your own words I will judge you. You are a worthless slave. And he said, if you know the kind of person you claim that I am, why did you not put my money in a bank that at least I will have collected it with interest? Is that okay? Now, I have read this to bring out a number of issues. Now, before I start teaching today, let me discipline myself a bit and answer the questions I said I would about the issue of borrowing. And we'll discuss that one a bit and how this thing applies to a civil servant, like we talked about earlier. Because last time I said I would answer the questions, I did not, and I forgot. So let me answer it now, so that I probably would not. I will try not to forget. So let me answer it now, so that I will not be at risk of forgetting. So let me quickly answer the question, then I'll now read that. I'll refer to that scripture again. The matter of borrowing. Somebody asked last time. I said that what is wrong with borrowing? All right, I have seen Christians make a doctrine out of borrowing. That is, it is wrong to borrow. Now, we're talking business matters now. Is that okay? All right, so that issue of borrowing, we should handle it. They say it is wrong to borrow. And like Chukwuebuka and I were saying last time, you know the way they get the thing from? From the book of Romans, where it says that, owe no man what? Let's quickly read there. I think I should answer that one first. Yeah, Romans chapter 13. The quotation used most of the time is from verse 8, which says, owe no man anything but to love one another. Now, when you say that, people take it out of context, and they tell you that it is wrong to borrow. I am not advising you to go and borrow, but let's handle the doctrinal matter first. Do you understand? Now, I read the New American Standard, which says, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. But please, let us read it in context. It makes life easier for us. Is that okay? Now, let's start from verse 1. Verse 1 is good to start from. Romans 7:13. It says, let every person be in subjection, all right, to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Now, it said, verse 2, therefore, he who resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. Now, let me just try and jump this one. It now talks about the function of rulers. Then he now went down to verse 5. Wherefore it is necessary to be in subjection, all right? Not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. He said, wherefore it is necessary to be obedient. That's what he was saying. Not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. He said, for because of this, you also pay what? Taxes, all right? For rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Now, verse 7 is where it's crucial. In verse 7, it said, this is a summary. Render all, to all what is due them. Please, I want everybody to repeat that after me. Render to all what is due them. Now, listen to this. It said, tax to whom tax is due. Custom to whom honor, to whom custom is due. Fear to whom fear, that is respect, is due. And honor to whom honor is due. Are you getting my point? What does it mean by that? If you go to a courtroom, as an example, and the judge is about to enter. How do we say it in Nigeria? Court, that is, Americans will tell you, the court is now in session, the Honorable Justice Ubong is sitting. As the man is about to enter, everybody rises. That is honor to whom honor is due. Do you understand my point? If they tell you that when you want to marry, the first day you come to see the girl's father, you come with 2 bottles of wine. Don't go and say, in our church, it's only Coke they drink. You therefore show up with 2 bottles of Coke. You're not ready to marry yet. Do you understand my point? Better go and marry your pastor's daughter. That's what I'm going to say. Please get my point. Except for things that are outrightly sinful. You know, Christians fight over something that, to me, unnecessary. To me, unnecessary. They say that you bring wine, what they want is brandy. They say, no, I don't believe in brandy. I'm not going to drink it. Look, they want to get drunk. That's their problem. They said, I can't enter until I get that brandy. I just go and buy it. Is that what they call brandy? Yes. Here is it. Papa, I want to marry your daughter. Interestingly, most of the men who receive those, they don't even drink themselves. It's just that it's custom. Look, we should be very careful. People say that. You know, that is how Satan will jump into your hand. The Satan that wants to jump into my hand, may confess. Now, bring us something here. That's what we're talking about. Custom to whom what? Custom is due. Let me not even emphasize all of these things. So God even gave a rule to the Jews, and I'm a Yoruba man, and it's very strong in our culture. Respect for elders, and just by the way, try and learn, it's a very good thing. You understand my point? You sit down, your elders enter the hall, and you want to greet them, and say, good afternoon, sir. You're not well. You know what you should do? You should rise up, and you bow. And it's scriptural. The Bible says that thou shalt rise before the aged and bow before the gray-headed. Are you getting my point? That is what is called respect, honor, custom. Are you getting the point I'm making here? But let me not even go into all those things in details. That's not the main thing we are saying. We're just trying to emphasize, we're trying to get this scripture in context. The next line now says, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. Now, this is what he was saying. He wasn't saying that, listen, nobody should borrow anything. If your elder enters and you sit down, cross your leg, like, can I help you? You are owing him respect. Are you getting the point I'm making? So when you say, owe no man nothing, right? Is it wrong to borrow? Why did Jesus borrow Peter's boat if it was wrong to borrow? Absolutely. He needed a boat and he borrowed the boat. What was most important was that he was able to return the boat and he returned the boat. And I'm going to talk about that. Because then the other scripture Chukwuebuke referred to for me is that we have to clarify. So the Bible said that you shall lend and not borrow. I said that was not a commandment not to borrow. He was describing what? Prosperity. That is, you will so prosper that you will not need to borrow, but you will have the ability to lend to people who want to borrow. I hope you're getting this in context. Because I've seen Christians make dogmatic statements about it. That no, a Christian should never borrow. Now, having said, of course, we've clarified that it's not a dogmatic statement. It's a matter of wisdom. And the Bible will tell you that the borrower is a servant to whom? The lender. So you are careful before you make yourself a servant of somebody. Now, there's a credit system that is used in Western countries If you don't understand it, no, you're likely to criticize it absolutely. Like Warren Buffett says, and I quoted him a number of times, what wise men do at the beginning, fools do at the end. The culture of credit, listen, was based on trust. Do you hear what I said? Was based on what? Trust. Or let me put it like this. The origin is that people trusted one another. And I'm going to emphasize that before I even discuss that. Christians, this is what marks out a Christian person. It's not that I don't borrow. It is that if need be, because we're talking in business now. Are you getting my point? If there is need to borrow, and I have to borrow, the thing that's most important to me is what? Paying back. I think that's what I need to talk about. In fact, I'm digressing now. I'm talking the matter of borrowing. This is not my message for this evening, but I shall sit there. Amen? Because, you know, you have all been around in life. I have been around people. My wife does some small business, marketing. I've talked to people who do business. And I find that I want to give you instruction concerning this as a Christian. I have discovered that people don't like paying what they owe. And that I can't understand why. Hear this as an instruction. The Bible says the word of God is profitable for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished, prepared for every good work. Therefore, I am instructing you with God's word. Listen to this. Whatever you owe, you must do what? Pay. He said, owe no man nothing. That one we're quoting. He was saying that when it is time to pay, do what? Show up with payment. I think it is an evil thing. One of the things you hear a lot, my wife hears it all the time. I've seen it a lot of times. People feel like when you are paying somebody you owe, it's when it's convenient. Hear this. I don't want to even bother myself proving it to you from scripture. Take it as one who understands the attributes and the righteousness of God. When you owe somebody, it is priority. One young woman was owing my wife money. Time to pay. He said, my child's birthday is coming up. Are you a fool? A child's birthday. My daughter has not had one birthday celebration till now. And it's not because I'm poor and I can't afford it. I'm just saying that it's not a crucially important thing. To pay somebody you are owing, you are saying because you have a child's birthday to celebrate. Are you crazy? One of my colleagues in the office said something which is so correct. Said that his landlord, people will come to him and say, please, I have problems. That's why I've not been able to pay you. And he says it's because you don't realize that your rent is a problem. You can't tell an American that you have problems. That's why you're not able to pay. He will kick you out of the house. That is their law. It's not like Nigeria, their law and this thing. It favors the tenant. There, it favors the landlord. You don't pay, he will kick you out. If you have been homeless for 2 days, you will know that paying your rent is what? A problem. And when you don't want to pay, you are a wicked person. You are taking advantage of somebody else's property. You ask yourself, which one is more important? For me to be homeless, or for my child to miss a few days in school, or even a whole term in school, or even a whole year in school? If he doesn't go to school, I'm not owing the teacher. I don't know. I hope you get the point. But if I'm living in this house, I'm owing the landlord. That is one thing we should learn as Christians. I worked in a place once. I told my boss, especially after my youth service in the clinic, I said, because what used to happen is that, you know, it's a hospital. Every business has support services around. For example, we had a lot of retainerships. Banks, you know, companies in which their staff will come, will take care of them. Sometimes these people need to have their eyes checked. Just simply refraction. And we can employ an optometrist and maintain a department for that in the hospital. So what he did was to kind of subcontract such things out to other people. So when staff come, okay, I don't see very well, I need to have my eyes checked, we just send them to one clinic nearby that runs optical services. Except that we never paid them. So they stopped receiving our patients. We need x-rays. Of course, we don't have to have our own x-ray machine. We sent to a nearby practice that has an x-ray department, except that we never paid them. So when I came, this was before I came to work there. When I started working there, I'll be seeing patients. We need to do this and that. They will tell me, God, we can't send them there. We're owing those people. So one day, I faced my MD during our staff meeting. I said, sir, why don't you just pay these people? You know what he told me? He said, people are owing us too. Listen to me, that's border dash, arrant nonsense. Somebody else is owing you, it doesn't concern me. This is what Christianity, that's what I'm talking about, spiritual, economic, empowerment, and development strategies. These are the things that people do that God does not think it's nice, necessary to bless them. Somebody else is owing you, it doesn't matter. You pay the one you are owing and let God fight your battle for you. Did he contract? I mean, you have a contract with A to do this. You have another contract with B. A and B never spoke to themselves. They spoke only to you. These are things that people do. These are the wrong things that inject a wrong spirit into our businesses. I remember then when I was in Lagos once, one of my seniors in university, then he was doing some locum just to keep body and soul together when he was doing a posting in Lagos. So one day he said he had to go for a meeting. He said whether I could cover for him. And I got out of clinical practice long ago. I mean, I'm a pathologist. Once I settled into my program, I got out of clinical practice. So the first time he asked me, I said, no, I have a friend who likes clinical practice. Let him do it for you. Next time he came, asked me, if I was his brother, I came to ask him. He begged that this guy is desperate, he needs to travel. Somebody has to cover the clinic for him. I remember I told one of my friends, please cover. The guy said, this was quite some time ago, 3 hours of clinical work, the fee was 250 naira. This was in 1995. So I said, Femo, I beg now. I asked to help this guy. I really don't want to go. All right? So take the deal now. 3 hours and 250 bucks. I remember that day, my friend, he's a neurosurgeon now in Luth. He said, thank you. Give me 150 naira now and I'll do it. Now, the brokerage, you know what I'm going to say? Guys were just broke. He said, she is 250. I said, yes. He said, give me 150 now, and I swear to you, I will do it. I didn't have 150. Cut a long story short. I knew I had to go. Because the guy, the idea is that he will pay you after, you know? So just before I left, I saw one of my house officers. He's in Guzo, that was the guy's name. I said, oh boy, I beg. Walk day. Oga, where is it? I described the place. I just, you know, told him where to go. I didn't even know the place myself. Just giving the description I was given. So he went, covered the thing for 250 bucks. Now listen to this. The man who I covered, now you know it was not my locum. It was not my own job. I was trying to help somebody. The man who I did it for, the following week he come, Banky, sorry, the man has not paid. And I'll look at him and say, what's my business with who paid and who did not pay? He did not even know initially that I was the one that went. I just kept quiet. He came the following week, and sorry, that thing, that man has not yet paid. Listen, I didn't have money. As soon as I was paid my salary, I took 250 naira, called the young man who I sent. I said, here's your money. Thank you very much for the assistance. And he thanked me, collected the money, and left. This guy, I will see him the next week. The man has not paid. You know, I never told him anything. I never got the money till yesterday. That's 95 to 2009. How many years? 14 years. Of course, you know, I can't. The money has been written off, you know, it's been forgotten. But why I told the story is that the guy who covered for me never knew I never got paid. See, it's not his business. I didn't give him a deal that when we get paid, there was no clause like that. So I took money from my pocket, paid the man, the young man who went for me. I didn't want to go. And my friend, who was my senior, who earned more than me, kept on telling me stories of the man has not yet paid. Listen, what marks out a righteous person is that he settles his debts. It's not that I never owe money. Let me tell you the truth. If you work for me from January 1st to January 31st, all right? 31st, I'm supposed to settle you. On the 30th, you know, I'm owing you 30 days' wages. But it's not yet due. What I mean is, I'm already owing. The day you start saying this man is owing me is when he crosses 31st and I don't give him money. By 14th of January, I'm already owing you 2 weeks. Do you follow what I'm saying? So I cannot be morally say, I can't morally now say that I can never borrow. I've already borrowed. For not paying you for 2 weeks, I have borrowed for 2 weeks. For not paying for 4 weeks, I borrowed for 4 weeks. It's when the 4 weeks is now over, when it is now legitimately right to pay you your money, I don't, that sin sets in. And I can prove that for you from the scriptures. James said it, the wage, number one, God gave a commandment to the Israelites. Any man who works for you, his money must not sleep with you overnight. Then people worked for daily pay. Daily pay. All right? In America, you work for weekly pay. In Nigeria, we work for what? Monthly pay. In effect, pay people their monies promptly. That's what we are saying, in effect. I worked in a place once, and it was time to pay salaries. I remember very well. Things were rough, all right? Things were rough. But I just thought that my guy was just indisciplined, all right? It was just bad discipline. I'm telling these stories to instruct you on what not to do. Is that okay? Talking about let's not owe. Listen. That day, let me give you facts. We were two doctors that worked for this man. We were being paid 6,000 naira a month. Forget the details of who worked when, but both of us, that was about our pay, all right? And there were people then at that time amongst the staff, the cleaners, you know, some of those people who earned, this was years ago, 600 naira in a month. Even then, that was wicked pay. As I thought I was there, it was wicked. All right? Now, this was I told you that was around 90, this was 95. Now, with this 600 naira a month salary, some 800, 900, that kind of thing. 2 months passed and were not paid. One day I called our accountant. I said, I'm a young man. I live with my cousin. You haven't paid me salary. You see, I still drive car to this place. I borrow car to come to work. So I'm not desperately in need. I know the other doctor too. We're young. This was immediately post NYSC. We need our money. But we can wait. I said, all this 1,000 naira, 800 naira, 600 naira that you are owing, everything put together, I'm not sure say it past 20,000. I said, I beg, talk to MD. Walk across the bank and borrow 20,000 naira. I said, I'm telling you, don't pay me. Don't pay my colleague. We are the ones that earn heavy relative to everybody. I said, but please, these people that you are paying 600 naira, 800 naira, 1,000 naira, please, I beg you, borrow money and pay them. Boost their morale. I remember the man's name, Mr. Dureke. Dureke said, Doc, what you said is true, it's true. I should discuss with MD. He walked into MD's office. I'll give you all the facts so that you get the point. Christians sometimes can be very, 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 very silly. He went to Winner's Chapel, which I also went to, even if not physically. You have heard me long enough to know that one of the men I respect the most, who blessed me the most in life, is Bishop David Oyedepo. And Bishop will say, I will never borrow, I will never beg, and these are good things. Do you understand my point? But I have a tape, I can play it for you, in which Bishop said he made a vow to some young men that he will roof their building for them. And the day they came to collect the money, he didn't have. So he called a friend and borrowed the money to give to them. So let's take things in context. As in, I will never borrow. The man, you know, the man knows what he's saying when he says that. I have the tape. If I don't have it now, I used to have it, and I listened to him almost 100 times. The Gospel of Abundance. That's the title of that message. They asked my MD, he said, no, I will never borrow. If we are not borrowing, we're not going to borrow. I told him, so when I saw Mr. Dureke next, our accountant, I said, how did he go? He said, Oga said he's not going to borrow. I said, but he has already borrowed. What are you saying? He has already borrowed 2 months salary. You didn't pay people any 1,000 naira, 600 naira. You have already borrowed. What doctrine are you bragging on? I will never borrow. You have borrowed. You have borrowed. What are you telling me? You are sitting in the midst of debt. I have given you something because these are young people. No, you don't get what I'm saying. I was an immediate post-NYSC doctor. I was earning 6,000. People were going home with 600 naira. And on top of that, you owe them for 2 months, and you are telling me you will never borrow. Are you? Jesus Christ, I will punch somebody.
You don't get what I'm saying? And don't think that we're such a poor establishment. Those day and age, we cut out your appendix, you shelled out 25,000 naira. I'm not joking. Caesarean section in my hospital was 35 grand. When we were paying 600 naira and 900 naira a month. Yet, we didn't pay. And when you talk to someone, say, no, I will never borrow. My God is not a poor God, but you already owe him. That kind of thing. They know they pray that kind of thing. In fact, God no go even answer. Walk up to the bank and say, guys, while I'm praying for somebody to fall sick and pay me 25K, just give me 20K first. Let me boost the morale of my staff. Are you getting my point? Forget, look, I'm teaching this so you understand this one. I never borrow, never borrow, never borrow. Sometimes you have already borrowed. That is, you have defaultly borrowed. You are owing. But what I'm trying to emphasize is that make it a duty. The Bible says, don't give your eye rest. Once you are in bondage, don't give your eye rest until you have delivered yourself from bondage. Now let's not get back to that. When I talk about the matter of borrowing or not borrowing, it is a matter of wisdom. For 5 days, I've not had a car to drive. Because the other car that's in my family, it has become essentially my wife's car, her shop, school-run car, you know. I have 3 children that go to school. So early in the morning, she takes the car to go and drop the kids in school, do her runs, do everything. All of you know my old BMW. It's been the mechanic for 5 days. Now, what am I going to say? Someone say, what's wrong with your car? I say, it's age. I know what's wrong with it. The fan belt caught one day, then something closed, then the car overheated, bust my radiator, I had to buy a new radiator. With the mechanic said it was not good, then we found out it was good. But you know, story short, sha. When people say, what's wrong with your car? I say, it's age. I was telling my friend that came here just now, Mike, he has a car in our house. I said, Mike, you wanted to dash this car to your uncle? He said, yes. I said, please don't. He said, what's wrong with it? Because DJ has been driving the car, and I've seen what DJ has suffered. I said, if you dash somebody this car. I said, sell the car, give the man the money. The man will be happy. He said, what is wrong with the car? I said, age. Age. One day the car didn't start. We said, it's battery. We bought battery, put battery. 3 days later, it didn't start. I said, is the battery dead? Electrician said, no, it's not battery. I said, it's alternator. He said, no, it's not alternator. He said, what happened? One wire leading from one coil to the distribution head of this thing is caught. Fine. He refixed it. The next day, they showed up without the car. Deji, where is your car? He said, no, enter gear. I leave him for office. All right. Then one day, they fixed it. Then Deji was carrying me down here one day. I said, why am I enter gear one? He said, bros, this cannot be enter gear one again. When did that start? He said, nah, yesterday. Now I call my friend Mike. I said, Mike, please don't dash this car to anybody. Sell it. He said, somebody go buy him. He said, yes, now. Someone know this tax people. They go buy him. Don't worry. You make 1,000 naira, fix it with 500, buy fuel with 200, 300 boss will follow you. Now, forget my joke. Let me tell you where I'm going to. Do you know that if I want a new car tomorrow, it's not a difficult thing. If I walk across to Kia, I tell them that I want a Kia Optima. They'll look at me, check my status, check where I work, check my pace, check everything. They'll give me a Kia Optima. Except that it was for freedom that Christ has set me free. No longer to be subject to the yoke of slavery. You give me care optima. At the end of the day, half of my salary, shoom, is gone. If somebody say, Pastor, good morning. Why are you greeting me now? What's the problem? You keep on going. The man suddenly becomes perpetually broke. He's driving a fine car, but it's always broke. I said, no, I don't want. People say, no. I walked into a shop the other day. The manager said, Pastor Banky, let's give you some facilities now. Hey, in my mind, look at you sounding like a generous man. You are looking for who you will collect this money. Before I put my account out of UB, the guy who was in charge, they said, let's give you some things. Now, let's give you money. We're in the business of give and take. We give you money, you take it from us. I say, yes. Right now, I'm not owing you money. My account's not balanced. Today, 200 naira deduction. Next day, 100 naira. Say, what happened? Say, you gave somebody a check, and the check was now up to 20,000 naira. Say, what was I supposed to do? Give him my ATM card. Next day, you wake up. Ah, what did you do this one? You drop money from this. Ah, I said, I'm not owing you money. You are treating me like this. When I come borrow your money, income, 1% per quarter loan maintenance fee. Is he a car? The only bank that I know that charges that in Nigeria. I said, I'm going to take it. One man and they say, I like my freedom. Those is when I was in Lagos, I didn't have a car. I didn't feel bad. You know my reason? Because the cars people like me could afford, they were the rapidly, frequently breaking down type. I said, when a bus, and it has happened several times, that I'm inside, breaks down, you know what happened? You come down, cross the bridge, take the next bus. In fact, like one of my friends said, one day he entered two buses that broke down one after the other. He said, Banky, I not pay that deal. He said, the first bus break down. Now I tell the conductor, square! The conductor released the money when he don't pay. He entered the next one. That one break down again. Tell the conductor, where my money? The conductor returned the money. He check where they go. He don't close. He walk out the rest of the distance. You get what I'm saying? That was my gospel when I was in Lagos. Ah, as a story I've told several times, one of my colleagues had to go and buy a car. A Nissan. Ah, which one of these Nissans now? Cut it down to the shelf. He bought the car for 55,000. And he was feeling cool, feeling vibe. Now he owns a car. The first day he drove the car down. You see, I used to stay with my cousin who dealt with cars. I mean, it was their business in the house was car business. They had a small car shop on Western Avenue. So I knew about cars. I just take a glance at the car in my mind. A cardboard. The glory has departed from this car. Everybody do congratulobia. Me too, I do my congratulobia. Inside my soul, I said, this guy, you're on your own. Cut the long story short. He will drive the car for 2 days. The car will drive him for 3 days. You know what it means for a car to drive you? Yes, you've not seen men driving cars before. You've seen cars driving men. May car never drive you. Hey, in Jesus' name, may car not drive you. As much as I believe in prosperity, believe me, before car begin driving me, I go buy a bike. Buy a brand new. Buy a customized crash helmet. Put placard on the bully, Pastor Banky. They won't suspect that I'm broke. They won't. They'll say, that guy is very humble. They won't know the truth. He say, you see, men of God always like to drive Jeep, but I like this guy. He's a humble man. They won't know that there are different things that make a man humble. I'll go and ride my bike very well. I will do that before I let a car drive me. My friend will drive a car for 2 days. In fact, there's this joke. When am I crying? People laugh. I was in the office one day, mechanic appeared. He said, please, where's Dr. A? I said, he has gone. I said, what's the problem? He said, I brought his car back. I finished it. I wanted to return it to him. So I said, oh, sorry, he has gone. He said, all right, okay, let me take the car away. That I'll come back tomorrow. I said, no problem. I was sitting in the office, walking. 10 minutes later, the guy came back again. He said, Doc, I said, what's the problem? He said, can I park the car here? I said, why do you want to park the car here? I told you we're taking it away. He said, actually, sir, is it not green tag here? I said, motor car that you have kept for how many days? It's not green tag here. Me, sir, I said, I know some of my cars and let's come out. I said, maybe the clutch cable cut. He said, no, it's not the clutch cable. Me too, I tried this thing. The clutch was firm. Then you press the clutch, you try to move the gear. Yeah, crrr, he said, okay, can I keep it? I said, no, why? Like, you can keep it here. We parked the car. After some time, he showed up again. He went, he had brought 6 boys. He said, they are pushing it back to the workshop. He said, the clutch disc or clutch plate or clutch CD, whatever it is, something just done bad. I look, I said, this car. No. This is the Bible says, a blessing of God, they make rich. And they don't add sorrow. The first time my friend balanced financially after that time was when they got tired and he jacked the car up. Then his life came to rest. Now, why did I tell the whole story? You want a new car? I know different ways to get. If I tell you I want to change my car by next week, I can. Except that what comes with it? Are you getting my point? I will have gone to borrow money. One wicked soul of a bank will be bleeding me regularly. And I will be shining for ignoramuses to see. You know what I mean? Ignoramuses. You see a man shining outside. Don't know the decay inside his soul. When you have all gone to sleep. When David said, in peace will I lay me down and sleep, because the Lord alone makes me dwell in safety. But the troubles inside the man's soul keeps him awake. As you are going to sleep, you are snoring. The Bible says the sleep of a laboring man is good. Say, but the rich, because of the plenty troubles, the man can't sleep. You have gone to sleep. You don't have a cow. You have gone to sleep. You have shined your shoe, paid a bookie $10. Your shoe is shining for tomorrow's workout. The man you see driving the shiny car, he can't sleep. End of this month, installments. The bank collecting $65,000. And this is when my brother said he's going back to school. Oh my God, and the rent is due next month. Hey, Father. Hi. And pastor said we should sow a seed. Hey. You know what caused the whole disturbance? The car he's driving. Please, I hope you are getting the story I'm telling about borrowing. Number one, the most important thing for every Christian is one, pay what you owe and pay it on time. Stop telling stories. It's the wrong business practice. You are injecting a wrong spirit into your business. Then number two, avoid putting yourself in bondage. That's what I've said a lot of these ones. That is why I live very, very free. You've heard my story about housing. There's a way God made my soul. I can't live in a small house. I've seen people say that they have built houses. My wife told me the other day about her colleague, they built a house. When she finished describing the house and the land it was on, I said, it's not a bad thing though, but this man won't live there. When I want to live in it, I like a big house. Do you get my point? Big house. It's my soul. That's the way God. People say they like sports cars. I don't like sports cars. You know, the taller, the better. The wider, the better. That's just my soul. You don't have to be like me. Are you getting my point? Now, for that reason, when they say they are selling houses, I say, how much is that house? They say it's 5 million. What is it? They say it has one and a half bedrooms. I said, then you'll be paying 30,000 naira a month for the next 25 years. I said, I can't live there. Look, I have 4 children currently, and 1 wife, and 2 adults living with me, and 1 visitor, on the average, 1 visitor a day, and I have a dog. Alright? And maybe my wife and I were thinking about getting another cat to live so that we chase away all the visitors we don't want, you know what I mean? Those small ones that crawl. Now, I'm trying to bring out something. People say that they just want to own the house. I say, well, you see, I'm so sure of where I will live in 10 years' time that God will provide it. Owning a house now doesn't give me any security. The house you know how many people who owned houses until El-Rufai came to manifestation? El-Rufai came to teach some people the fear of God. They sweated, did everything, and built house. El-Rufai said, hear me, O saints of God, all flesh is grass. And the goodliness thereof are like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flower fades when El-Rufai moves a bulldozer upon it. He removed. There was one house we stayed. We went to draw somebody in Abuja. I said, praise God for the owner of the house. They bought a very massive, massive plot of land and built the first house at the back. That was the saving grace. Because El-Rufai came and removed the whole front of the compound and said it's his own. Put a road on it. So those people, they still have a house and small land. If they had built the big one in front, El-Rufai would have brought it down. What am I going to say? You have a house now, it's no guarantee that you have one in 10 years. I saw all of these things. I told myself, the Bible says, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So I rented myself, Did you hear what I said? Rented myself a big house. One, I have the space that I need. I have the peace of mind that comes with it. That's number one. And then number two, I am not in distress trying to pay interest on one huge loan to go and buy a house that I'm not enjoying because I want to proudly say it is mine. Listen, faith, that's why we're discussing. We are talking faith. Christianity, faith is part of your business. I hope you get my point. I told you before that everything is currency. Everything has value. When they were selling Oceanic State share price, guaranteed all of them for almost 30 naira, you didn't have money to buy. It's now 7 naira 50 kobo, 6 naira 50 kobo. If you have faith, it's time to buy. That is, if you have faith, your faith becomes the currency with which you will buy. In the same manner, there's peace of mind that you get with your faith that other people use money to get. So, what I'm saying is this. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. God has given you enough resources for one day. Don't forget to listen to that message. Open my eyes, oh God. It's a very powerful message. A lot of people are in distress because they have used credit to put themselves in bondage. I said I was going to comment on the American, the Western world credit system. It was based on trust. And this is how it is. If you own a house, you will live in it one day at a time. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So they say, why don't you pay one day at a time? Then over a long period, the house becomes yours. You don't have to pay again. That's the logic behind this mortgage thing. So that you won't remain in perpetual debt forever, always paying a landlord. That was the concept. So the whole thing was designed to help you own something that will make it easier for you to earn more in life. I don't know whether you get my point. That is, if you have peace of mind, you can focus on your business, focus on your calling in life, and make success of it, and pay effectively for those things that you're already using. So you leave school, instead of lying on the mat on the floor for some time, instantly somebody says that, look, we know you have the capacity to earn. So you will need a TV, they said, fine. You need a bed, you need kitchen utensils, fine. So you can have them. We know you will pay us over the next few months, and you pay us some interest on the amount of money that you're supposed to have paid originally. And the man says yes. Actually, it's a very good system. If we don't understand it, we say, as are the people in bondage. Listen to me. The reason why people are in bondage to the credit system is only one reason. It's called covetousness. Because I said, what wise men do at the beginning, fools do at the end. Alright? This is what happens. Suddenly, when you wanted to start out, they helped you with a small car to move around. And because they saw your earning potential and you were paying, then one day, say you sell with a Kia Rio, then your friend, for information, when you had 5 A1s, he managed to get only 4 credits. Then the guy drove up one day with a, he came with an a G-Class Mercedes Benz. Now he looks, oh boy, how far now? He said, this one, you can have one too. If I just have to tell you, you don't have to say anything. You look and say, this guy thinks he's sharp. The next day, you're watching TV. I wish you go to America and watch television. It's very common. Even South Africa TV. If you watch DSTV, you see it. You go look the motor. Look yourself. After I deserve it, okay? You buy the car. And then, you look again. The latest, what's the name of that LG? Scarlett. A whole new series of TVs from LG. You know, you feel very cool. You go and get yourself a 56-inch Scarlett. That's only $75 a month. Nothing spoiled. You keep on accumulating. At the end of look, after 1 month, you are heavily souped up. You are still managing. This time around, you just manage to spend everything you have, settle all your bills. They say an average American is only 2 paychecks away from bankruptcy. If he loses his job for 2 weeks, he will lose everything he owns. Let me tell you something, just to help you understand something of this credit issue. American car business, that the three major manufacturers, GM, Chrysler, and Ford, contribute 10% of American's GDP. You know what they mean? Everything that American produces, software, hardware, that's computer software, all these things you pay internet, Facebook.com, YouTube.com, Yahoo.com, Google.com, put everything together, all the money they earn in a year. Only those car companies contribute 10%. With all the oil they are mining in Texas, they are drilling in Texas, everything they are producing in America, the car company alone contributes 10%. See how huge that market is? Listen to this. You know why they are going bankrupt? They sold those cars to guys who really don't have the money to pay. I'm not ringing out something. Those guys put their own citizens under pressure. You drive a car. My friend was telling me that once he went to help me buy parts for my car. So they drove down to the dealership, all right? The Toyota dealership. They drove down in a Camry. You know, American car, look, this is not a joke. This is an exaggeration. If you drive a car, that's why brand new car, I'm not too excited. A car that you drive in Nigeria for, no, forget this thing. You know, Kia is in Enugu. They bring their cars from Lagos, right? Or is it from Port Harcourt? Anyway, Lagos. They drive it on the road. Or did they fly it? They drive it on the road. This is not a joke. To come and put in their showroom in Enugu, all right? It has gone through more gallops than an American goes through in 1 year. And that, God is my witness. I'm not joking about that. This is Enugu to Onitsha. American cars, not life just easy for those cars. A car they have driven in America for 1 year is newer than the brand new car in a shop in Enugu. Why? Because the car had to drive on the road to Enugu. Now, I'm bringing out something. So they drove up into the dealership in this car. And there was an Avalon parked there. And they just admired the Avalon. And that's it. The salesman started his speech. Started explaining that, you see, he knows that they are paying, that's my friend's sister, spending about $200 a month on that Camry. And that, you see, all she needed to do is trade this one in, bring this one back. They will give her the Avalon. That the Avalon was returned by somebody who had clocked less than 10,000 miles on it. The car was, if you've seen an Avalon, you will love God. If you know what I'm going to say, the car is beautiful. You understand? And that all she needed to just bring in the Camry, they give her the Avalon. All she needs to do is pay an extra $100 a month. That one tell us, thank you very much, I am not interested. Driving Camry come out. So that's what they do. $100 here, $50 here. You add one and you'll be living a very, very comfortable life, but you can't dare not work for 1 week. What am I saying? What is wrong with the credit system is that it makes it easy for people to lose self-control. It makes it easy for covetous people, all right, to eat their future today. The real idea behind credit system is that we can give you your comfort on a daily basis. Do you get my point? You want to buy a house, because if you pay rent in a house for 30 years, you will have paid enough to own the house. So why don't we help you own it? That's the concept. But no, suddenly people are no longer content. Covetousness is what went wrong with those credit systems. And it's in your face every day. It's in your face every day. You sit down for a house, you're managing your car, they will give you the new one. The brand new Nissan Titan for only $265 a month. They won't remind you that the tax on driving the Nissan Titan is not the same as driving your Kia Rio. What am I trying to explain? That's the second point. Whatever you do, don't put yourself in what? Bondage. Let's forget this issue of I don't borrow. American businesses, Western world businesses, their markup on sales is very, very narrow. They can afford to sell something that they bought for $1,000 for $1,050. You say why? It's simple. They didn't pay the $1,000. They didn't pay it. That, I'm talking about the good side of the credit system. So HP will take their computers, ship it to Best Buy as an example, expecting Best Buy to pay them every quarter. Because they didn't pay HP. If HP said, this each computer, we are giving it to you for $600. Best Buy, that's why they do sales. Because the faster it moves, the more profit they make. But we can't afford to do it in Nigeria. You know why? That $600, you will pay it upfront. Until you sell it. But as mentioned, you borrow the money from the bank. Interest on that $600 is counting. The staff, everything is counting. So by the time you are letting go of the computer, you have tied down $600 for maybe 2 months. So you cannot afford to sell it for $650 because you have to pay all the expenses. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm trying to explain. But the other man there, no. He takes his $600, he holds it. The day he sells is the day he pays. So he can afford to sell for $650. 6.25. And Christmas time, he slashes down all the prices. Once it's above what he has to pay the other guy. Like I told you, listen, a matter of credit is a matter of what? Wisdom. Sometimes when people don't manage well, the second largest electronic distributor in America was Circuit City. They are currently bankrupt. How much did they say? They've closed now, of course. Auctioned everything up. You said they were owing HP how much? Maybe like $300 and something million. Computers that all of us bought, they did not give the money to the owner at the app. We paid though. You see, this I'm telling you, when you hear people get bankrupt, go and check the real truth. It's indiscipline and lack of righteousness. One of the most wicked things you can do is that you and person contribute money, you do business, suddenly you realize you have needs he doesn't have. All of you contributed 10,000 naira. Now you have made 2,000. He brought 5K. You brought 5K. You agreed that because you did most of the work, sharing will be maybe 60-40. Out of the 2,000 naira, give him his own 40%. He says, sorry, you know, my landlord just showed up yesterday. Listen to me. I know you should pay your landlord, but I didn't say you should go and steal. Because that is what? Stealing. Look, let me tell you, spiritual economic empowerment, look, all these business principles they do, they tell you how to invest money, receive this. One thing they don't tell you is how to tell the truth. Because the moral lectures is not part of the planning strategies. Let me tell you the truth. I'm talking on a spiritual angle. I'm explaining some spiritual principles why you will do well in life. Are you getting my point? Don't take somebody else's money. Stealing is a curse. It invokes a curse into your life. The Bible says the curse of the Lord is in the house of the thief. When they say thief, all you think is, as they walk out for night, the guy will just do it like this. Yeah, your phone. And then you drop him. You say, that one is a thief. The curse of the Lord is in his house. You wait first now. Wait. Last week, that 2K profit, where two of you now contribute money make. 60% is your own. Why have you not sent the other person his own? Listen, let me tell you something. Spiritual, look, anything you do, go and read my tract. It is God and I. Anything you are doing, you are dealing with God. When you are cheating your business partner, you are cheating the Lord. Are you getting my point? You are cheating who? You are cheating the Lord. Just realize it. You can't say you had problems. That money is not your own. It is just as right for you to go have gone to steal from somebody and say, you have problems, let me settle my problems first. Integrity and honesty. Please, stop carrying somebody else's money. Stealing is a terrible thing. This is credit matter. That's what matters. It's not whether, as a Christian, I can borrow. That's not the point. If you know you can't pay, don't say you will pay. If you want to take a loan from somebody, it must have terms. You know the terms? Is it a 6-week loan? Or a 2-month loan? And please, pay at the time you said you would. Somebody, one of my friends called me yesterday and we're discussing this matter. He said that because of some business he was doing, he took money from somebody, like an investment. Okay, give me this money. I'll give you a certain percentage at the end of the year. He does business. He said, normally he makes sure everything is written down in black and white, contract. But this person said, look, don't worry. Are you not? I know you now. You're a Christian. And gave him ₦1 million on trust. I know you. You can't cheat me. You're a good man. A few weeks before the money was due to be paid, he had the money. I mean, that's the kind of person he is. He had gathered the money and he was ready to pay. Except that a friend of his showed up and said that he needed to pay something. That was owing a bank. Okay, just 5 days, 6 days, or 1 week, something like that. And he felt that, this is my friend, I know him very well. He gave the guy the money, a bulk of it, maybe like ₦1 million or so. 1 week passed, the guy did not pay. 2 weeks passed, the guy did not pay. Months passed, cut the long story short, the time he was supposed to pay the other guy his money reached.
and he now did not have money to pay. Hey! You know, he said what used to pain him most is not the money he's owing. Is that the guy said, I know you now, you're a Christian. You can't cheat anybody. So to him, this is Christianity under attack. Of course, and this is what you do. There's one scripture I want you to read. Let's quickly read it. It will help every one of us. From verse 6, Proverbs chapter 6 from verse 1. He said, my son, if you have become shorty for your neighbor and have given a pledge for a stranger, if you have been ensnared with the words of your mouth and have been caught with the words of your mouth, do this then, my son, and do what? Read loud now. He said, do this then, my son, and do what? Deliver yourself. Since you have come into the hand of your neighbor, go. Do what? Humble yourself and importune your neighbor. Do not give sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hunter's hand, and like a bird from the hand of the fowler. There's a principle I want to bring out from there. Tell your neighbor, please. Somebody, turn to somebody and say, when things don't work, then somebody. That's the principle I want to teach you. This was what my friend operated. When things don't work, oh boy, there's no bold face in this. You will go to your neighbor and go and do what? You, how did the Bible say it again? Humble yourself and importune your neighbor. You know what it means? Beg. Talk. You use mouth to hook yourself before. What do? You use your mouth to deliver yourself. This is what it means. You go and do what? You go and beg. I'll say something again today on accepting your responsibility. Please, turn to your friend beside you. Say the person. Touch the person. No. Accept your responsibility. Now, these two deals, this is my friend's deal I'll tell you about. He did not take, what do you call it, permission to lend his money, his friend's money to another person, did he? So it's not that guy's problem. So you know what he did? He went to the guy. Now, if he had money, I know him, and that's the righteous thing to do, he would have just paid the guy and settled his problems by himself. But because he didn't have, he went to that guy and knelt down and begged. I don't know whether I literally knelt down. He begged the fellow, say, please, your money is ready, boss. This happened. But I'm not, and this is another thing. Some people will now tell you that when he pays me, I will pay you. That is evil. Take it from me, it is wickedness. You are transferring your responsibility onto somebody else's head, and you are doing it, telling him the stories, hoping to put him under emotional tension so that since he understands your predicament, he can't ask for his money. He just said, simply, please, just give me time. Please, turn to the fellow again. Say, give me time. I'll tell you something. Give me time. Because this is another evil that people practice, very common in our society. People think that begging is equivalent to receiving a cancellation of debt. No, it is not. Listen, you have no right to expect somebody to forgive you a debt because you said sorry. You know, Nigeria, they jam your car. Oga, sorry. I say, no problem with sorry. But what's going to happen to the car? You have damaged. One day, my wife jammed somebody's car. Me and the guy were talking on the phone. He was talking. I said, my friend, relax. Don't talk to me rashly. I'm not begging you. I have money to pay you. Let's discuss the amount I'm paying. What nonsense are you doing? You're talking to me as if we went to war and you defeated me. No, I told him, you are talking to me as if I'm a conquered person. You didn't conquer me, my friend. Get the point clear. My wife accidentally jammed your wife's car. I'm not arguing on who's responsible. Now we are discussing money matters. You're asking for 100,000 and I'm not going to give 100,000 because I don't think that damage is worth 100,000. And friend, no, I told him simply, do I look like a begging person? Please now, don't be angry. I said, wait. It was an accident. My own car is dead also.
My car is also damaged. I wasn't talking to the guy rudely initially, but the way he was going on, I had to tell him, boy, listen, get this point very clear. This is no matter of begging. It's an accident. My car is also damaged. And I'm willing to repair your car. I'm not telling you forgive me. I am saying let's agree on the reasonable amount. And I pay you. And you're, no, I told the man simply, you want me to be crawling and begging you? No, that's not right. There's a reason why I'm bringing that up. Because what people want is that they want to crawl and beg and say sorry, as if the sorry will suddenly bring out the metal, rearrange the glass that broke, and the car will suddenly begin to shine. I will show you from the scriptures, what the Bible says you ask for is what? Time. Let me read it for you. It's in these scriptures. The Bible is wonderful. Matthew chapter 18. I won't read the whole story because you know the story. It was a story about the two servants who were owing their Lord. No, one servant was owing his Lord a lot of money. Quickly, let's read down to verse 26. The servants therefore, let's start from 25. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold. Are you seeing that? And his wife and children and all that he had. And payment be what? Made. This is what I'm going to 26. Therefore, the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, do what? Lord, do what? Please say it loud. Lord, do what? What he asked for was patience. Give me time and I will pay you everything. Now, listen to this. The Lord now decided that since this man is ready to accept his responsibility, I am willing to completely forgive him. Are you getting my point? Your begging is not equivalent to payment. Your begging does not equate payment. If you are owing somebody, the best you can do, which God expects you to do, is what? Ask for what? Time. You will show the man, I know I'm owing you a millionaire. I lost my job last week. What am I going to do? Please give me time. I will pay you. The man can now decide to write off the debt. You can't ask for that. It's not righteous to ask for it. Payment must be made by somebody. You can't blackmail somebody emotionally and therefore get rid of your own responsibility. And then let me continue my story. He went to the person and begged for time. And what did he do? Every money he got, 10,000 naira, boom. 5,000 naira, boom. He kept on gathering it. He said, then one day, he did something, got some money. What did he do? Pay. Then finally, his company approved one loan he had applied for. And the first thing he did was to settle that guy completely. He said the man was angry with him because he was putting himself under pressure to pay him that. He said, look, relax now, I understand. He said, please, oh, I know you understand, but please, I don't understand. You get my point? Yes. Let me discharge my responsibility. I'm saying this because it's so crucial. As you want somebody else to do to you, do to others also. And listen to this. When you do that with others, God will move upon those who are owing you and they will pay you. Look, if you keep sowing seeds of, I don't have now, I will pay, what am I going to do? Am I going to die? If you sow that seed, it will germinate. Other people are owing you to this. You don't have to one person, 10 people will do it to you. I told you, look, I'm not teaching you how to invest money and to collect it back. I'm giving what? The spiritual undertones. When this big business will teach you, they won't say these things. Because the moral of it, it's not part of what they are teaching. But I'm explaining to you that there are spiritual things that entrench men in success or in poverty. You know, there are people, when you hear someone is a 419 man, that guy, to even be born again, say, go hard him. To go around deliberately. Now, I'm not saying it's impossible. I just say go hard. If you can come to the point of repentance and ask for forgiveness, God will forgive. To go around deliberately defrauding people is wickedness. The Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. Have you heard that thing before? But the Bible says there are 7 things that the Lord hates. I told you before that when God loves, you know what he does? He gives. For God so loved the world that he did what? He gave. That God showed his love towards the alien amongst him that he gave. When God loves people, he gives to them. Now, please, answer this. When God hates something or hates somebody, there's a message I'm going to preach shortly on radio. Currently, the title is 7 Habits of Effective Poverty. Did you hear what I said? 7 Habits. 7 Habits. Now, when I say 7 Habits, that is, you see a young man, he's 21. You come back, he's 26, he's still doing it. You come back, he's 28, he's still doing these things I'm going to discuss. Oh God, you can swear that that guy will be poor for life until he repents. I'll do it on radio. I might increase it to 8, but currently, it's 7 habits that entrenches a man in poverty. And the reason is because there are things that God hates. You know what I mean to hate something? God hates it. It's in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. There are 6 things which the Lord hates. Yes, 7 which are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, the hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who utters lies, and one who spreads strife amongst brethren. There's another one, unjust weight. That's the one I'm looking for. Yes. It's a false balance. It's an what? Abomination. Thank you. That's the one I'm looking for. An abomination to the Lord. Now, I brought this issue up because a man who uses a false balance is actually stealing. If you ever run a filling station and you want to prosper in life, make it a goal. Are you getting me? That your 1 liter is 1 liter. 10 liters for you shall not be 9.5 liters if you can help it. For you, 1 liter must be what? 1 liter. Most filling stations, you know why filling stations proliferate? Quick money. They dispense for you 10 liters. A good one would probably give you 9.5. That 0.5 liters on 50,000 liters is a lot of money. You get what I'm trying to say? But listen, let people never entice you. Let them never entice you with the amount of money they are making. There was something my friend and I were discussing the other day. I want to say it again. I say Christian business is not about money. He and I disagreed a bit because I think either I didn't get him well or he didn't get me well. But I thought and meditated again. Listen to this. Christian business is not about money. What is it about? It is about demonstrating God's faithfulness. It is about demonstrating the character of God inside you. It's about service. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you supposed to lose money? You know, I never said so. Are you getting my point? I said that you must be a careful accountant. You must balance your books well. If you are doing business and you are losing money, it's a sign from God that you are doing bad business. When I say bad business, I don't mean the business is bad, but you are not doing it well. The scripture, I've already gone into my message for today actually. The time is gone anyway. The scripture that we read at the beginning showed one thing. God expects that a man who he gives money should be able to multiply it. Are you getting my point? Through effective business doing. He said, he didn't say just multiply this money. He said, do business with this money until what? I come. Now listen, I read that scripture to bring out an issue. It was not just the money that the Lord was that he was excited about. What was he excited about? The skill demonstrated by those people. And the measure, now listen to this, The measure of the skill was how much money they had what? Made. Now, listen, it wasn't saying that money is the issue. Let me explain. I want to explain this thing to you. One day I was in a car shop, and so people were selling Nissan Sunny. Oh, no, Nissan Bluebird. And Nissan Bluebird used to have something behind it. They write like 280 or 260, something like that, those days.
Yeah, okay, yes. There are 2.0. This one that was written in the Nissan Bluebird, 1.6. And the people pricing the car said that they wanted 1.8. Now listen to this, listen to this. So if people priced that car, I think all the, all of them wanted 1.8. And that was a 1.6. And one man there said that, well, why don't you use, why don't you remove this 1.6 and melt metal to join the top of the 6 to the bottom of the 6, you know, that kind of thing, and to convert it to 8. I don't know whether you follow what I'm saying. And in fact, let's just change this to what? To 1.8. And then we sell it. Whether it was a wicked man or not, I don't know. But obviously it was a very stupid man. What am I going to say? The people asking for 1.8, they are not planning to drive the number. 1.8 is the engine capacity of the car they are planning to drive. Do you follow the point I'm going to make? The 1.8 at the back is just a reflection of the engine under the bonnet. Now, are you following the point I'm making this? That is, you see 1.8. It is not to photograph it, glaze it, frame it, and say, look at it. My car, it has 1.8 written on it. No. What is it for? It is supposed to indicate for us what the car can do. But people do all kinds of things. You see a lot of Mercedes-Benz in town, they go and put on it E320. This is a 1985 model Mercedes-Benz, what you call V-boot. And it's probably, it just has a 1.9 liter engine. And it's supposed to be a 200E, not the regular 200E. The man just was E320. Now, this is the point. It doesn't change the fact that you have only 4 cylinders. It does not change the fact that there are certain speeds you can't do. It doesn't change the fact that there are certain acceleration modes you cannot attain. Now, please, are you getting my point? So when the Lord commended a man that this man has multiplied the money I gave him 10 times, you follow? He wasn't telling the man in effect, other people in effect, whatever you need to do, I want this money multiplied. There are things that are implicit in the statements of Jesus. He was describing his context of righteousness. Therefore, he was saying in effect, this man has demonstrated to us how he is able to handle resources. And how do I know that? Because he said, therefore, be in charge of what? 10 cities. Because the money is just what? A demonstration of what the man could handle. Please, I hope you are getting my point. Let me state it again. Christian business is not about money. Money helps you account. If you are doing business, the only way you will know what you have sold and how much profit you are making is if you do good accounting. That is why I quoted before you before that the Bible says, know the condition of your flock. Know the condition of your flock. You must know what is going on. Don't, you see, that's why, oh God, please, let me beg you. Don't follow the world and their system. Otto Anderson was the world's leading accounting firm. Yet they connived to bankrupt so many companies that did themselves, even though they had money, they had to shut down. Because they forgot that the job of the accountant is not the signature. The job of the accounting firm is to certify for you and I who hold the stocks of a company that things are exactly as they said they are. That's why they have what? Internal auditors who put their books together and submit to the external auditors who verify the claims that they made. Please, do you get what I'm saying? I'm trying to explain. So what happens is that the world taught you, do you know, oh God, if you read stories, I mean, I've read plenty. I read a book, What Happened at Enron. I've read all kinds of stories. I have seen that people just, you say that this company made $2.5 billion. Most of them, there's no proof. How did they make $2.5 billion? One man just decided that the things were entering as expenses before, let us start entering it as what? Revenue. Do you know it's as stupid and as silly as that? That was what happened at the WorldCom. Things that they should register as expenses, maybe like, okay, maybe the MD of the company chartered a flight and carried 5 people and they went around the world and the total cost of the trip was $6.5 million before it was expenses. When they were looking at the book, they said, okay, let's make it assets. How is that an asset? It was an investment trip, okay? It will bear fruit later. They shifted $6.5 million. And put that asset. And stock price kept on climbing. Kept on climbing. Kept on climbing. There was one MD, I don't know which company now, I've forgotten exactly, in which the shareholders hired him, the CEO, that whether he can increase the value of their stock by a factor of 10, maybe over the next 5 years. And the guy said, no problem. But what they meant was that make the company so attractive through productivity and sound business principles that people will love it and want to own part of it. He said, you want stock price to go up, higher stock price I shall give you. He started doing arithmetic, gymnastics, accounting. When they finish their Wayo accounting, they'll give it to Otto Anderson. Let me tell you this as a matter of fact. Otto Anderson, one of their biggest clients was Enron. Enron that collapsed and people were collapsing with it. They knew what Enron was. There was one man, Skilling or whatever his name was. The man, all his losses, he will make investments worth $500 million. He will lose every dime. You know what he will do? He will create what they call a special purpose vehicle and carry all the expenses put inside that company within the company. And he will not put the account of the new company he created, which takes only 24 hours in New York to do. That is, in one day, that man was the chief financial officer for Enron. In one day, he expenses, loss of $500 million will vanish. Loss of $500 million will vanish in one day. When you balance the book at the end of the year, all Enron makes is profit. Why? Because the expenses have disappeared. What am I now to say? At the end of the day, what happened to everything? It collapsed. Founders did not talk. You know why they didn't talk? Accounting fees that Enron was paying was hundreds of millions of dollars per annum. If you talk, it's not like they said, they will stop paying. But what happened to Anderson today? They vanished. That was how the company died. Even the one that was called Anderson Consulting, which is driven from the accounting side, had to change his name to Accenture. When you see Accenture, that used to be Anderson Consulting. Because the name Anderson is so odious now that is when you hear Anderson, who said that? Who messed for there? You know that kind of thing. That is how Anderson smells now as a name. So instead of Anderson Consulting, they changed their name to Accenture. I look when they were doing the rebranding. I looked at and said, one can shake it, Baron Banza, only one after the other. they have stolen money, they are hiding under a new name. The character apparently hasn't changed. What am I trying to explain? When the world tries to form you into their mold, that's what happens. Everybody that bought the idea, every single person that bought the idea went under also. Are you getting my point? But those who won't buy the idea, people like, what's his name? Warren Buffett. He said from time that this kind of accounting people are doing is wrong. That you can't do accounting like this. At the end of the day, he imagined the richest man in the world. All the other people are what? They are dead. Are you following my point? That's why I'm teaching these sound spiritual principles. Let's forget the outward one. Let us hold on to what? Honesty and what? Integrity. Next time I'll talk about advertising. One thing you must, it's part of honesty and integrity. You must never lie in your adverts. Don't advertise us until you have something to offer. Listen, let me tell you the truth. The Bible says righteousness delivers from what? Death. That is, if you are doing righteously, people think, I'm suffering for God. This is my company is not growing because I refuse to lie like everybody else. And they make it as if it's a matter of what? Righteousness. We are holy. Listen to me. The truth is that you are just preserving your own life. The truth is that when everybody will collapse, you'll still be standing. I always tell the story of when I was in Lagos those days, and hospitals were conniving with staff to defraud establishments. What happened to all the staff? One, a lot of them got sacked. Two, all those hospitals, they lost their retainerships. You know what they used to do? Your son is going to school, you go to the hospital, you drop a list, 2 sweaters, 3 bedsheets, 7 insecticide-treated mosquito nets, 6 tins of Milo, 5 of Bonvita, 1 of sugar, milk. You write the whole list and submit to the hospital. And the doctor suddenly became the chief shopping officer. go to the supermarket, buy everything, and deliver to you. And he will sign that your son had malaria for 6 days and was on admission. You and the doctor will agree that you said you had appendicitis, didn't you? Yes. I operated it, did I not? He said, yes, sir. That you write it. I'm not joking about what I'm telling you. I am not joking. I was there. I was watching it happen. Then when all of you have signed all the milo they bought for your pikin, 10K, and you signed it with 20,000 as hospital bills, and the doctor at the end of the month will present it. Suddenly you just see catarrh, tonsillitis, typhoid fever, boil, appendix, headache, fever, everything will just appear on a healthy man. One man working for an oil company, it happened to him. He needed money. He did that with a doctor. Unfortunately for him, he went and said his son had the surgery. And your guy said, let's go and greet Mr. Ajanle Kuku, whatever his name was, whose son was sick. Only for them to get to the compound. And when small JJ Okocha was tapping soccer, hey, boy. Now I said, Junior, when did you come back from hospital? The man looked, Oga, what have you been smoking? Who go with hospital? You were not sick? The man said, I wasn't sick anything. They didn't admit you. Oh, God, please, let's get this thing correct. I'm as fit as, look at me. No wahala. They investigated the case and dismissed the man from his oil company job because of thievery. I said, righteousness does what? Delivers from death. The doctor, in fact, he's lucky he's not America. If he's America, you will never practice again. Of course, he lost his retainership. The hospital lost the... And, when an oil company say, we know they do use your company again, you go begin cry. Please, I hope you are getting my point. Don't let the world squeeze into their mold and start defining things the way God did not say we should define them. Let me stop my message for today here, all right? Because of our time. I started that by trying to answer the question on borrowing. And from there, I just went straight into the issue of what? Sincerity, honesty. Please, in everything, don't ever try to cheat anybody. Don't cover something that's not good and sell to somebody. Are you getting my point? Your aim must be to deliver quality. That's why I said that it's not about money. People should be happy. So what's the role of money? I told you money is a measure. Do you get my point? Just like that 1.8 at the back of the car. Right? It's not what we want to drive. It's just a measure of what is inside the engine. You watch the money to help you keep track of what you are doing. Are you increasing in your reach or you are not increasing? Are you getting my point? If you are selling your goods maybe with a markup of 30% or 50%, whatever, and you decide to reduce the markup, all right, so as to serve more people, the only way you will know you are serving more people is if your sales increase. Are you getting what I'm saying? The increase in sales will be the indication that you have done that which is right. That's what money helps you with. And you know that is right. And peradventure, it still doesn't increase. Then you start searching out. What do you get my point? If you don't check your account books, you won't know when you should make the necessary adjustments in your business. That is what money is for. If you don't earn the money, you can't pay the staff you've hired. They are not partners with you in ministry. The laborer is worthy of what? His wages. That's what money is for. You yourself, you are a laborer. You are worthy of what? Your wages. I can't give all the details, but God will give you wisdom, from what we have said so far. When you start a business, set yourself on a salary. It helps you discipline yourself. It helps you know whether you are making money or you are just fooling yourself. And if you're not making money, it doesn't mean you should close the business. You start making what? Adjustments. Like I said at the beginning, of course, you won't start and say, after all, the bank MDs, are they better than me? When prior people want to talk, after all, I'm a child of the king. An MD of a bank is not better than me. If he's earning 1 million a month, me too, I can earn 1.2 million. After all, I'm the child of a king. Who told you all bank MDs are children of Satan? When people want to rationalize their irresponsibility, they start giving it spiritual names. The business has just started. If the turnover in a month is just 30,000 naira, you should know that it doesn't need you as a full-time staff. Do you get my point? I'm not saying you shouldn't work for a full-time, but you pay yourself part-time money. No,
But these are simple wisdoms of life. So when I say put yourself in salary, I don't mean that you just say, okay, yes. As the MD CEO, combine the office of MD and chief accounting officer, chief finance officer, chief PRO, everything. So I should earn all the money together. Well, it's your business you will kill, not mine. You understand the logic I'm trying to make there? Uh-huh. Please, so it's honesty and integrity. All right? I'm so happy for what I discussed the issue when it comes to credit. You say, I will never owe. What it means is that when you are owing, pay on time. It is not that it's against my religion, I will never borrow. I mean, ask Chike and ask my wife. There's nobody you want to buy from as much as the person who agrees to give you on credit. Ha! Look, there are suppliers that my wife loves because she can phone them and say, send me this, and they'll just send it. And that's okay. Next week, I'll pay your money. You know, that is serious. Between now and next, you can sell half of the goods. I'm telling you. In fact, they make life easier. So this issue of, I don't owe. Listen, my friend, if your supplier supplies you ahead of time before you pay, you have already owed. But this is Christianity. The time payment is due. Show up with it. Let me tell you another thing. This is how Satan tricks people. You hear that, they are about to devalue the naira. You are owing your first supplier 1 million. The second guy is 1.2 million is due. Because the nonsense, you are owing everybody 7 million naira. But you know that they are going to devalue the naira. You're supposed to pay today. First, maybe today is what? 30th. And you are waiting. So you keep their money waiting. Hoping to use the mop up dollar. You think you are smart. Should I tell you the truth? You are a thief. You get my point. Don't be smart. Look, let me tell you what you always do. This works all the time. Put yourself in the other person's shoes and you will never go wrong. You that want to buy, you think the other man too doesn't need dollar? Are you getting my point? If you have such information, say, oh boy, let me quickly pay you your money. I hear dollar is going to go up. Buy quickly. All this sharp, look, let me ever forget, we are dealing with spiritual principles here, not physical principles. Like my pastor in Lagos said, Pastor Poju, he said, you know what you have gained. What you don't know is what you will have lost. The one you gained, you will know it. The 200,000 that you made suddenly, you will know that one. But the spiritual substance that has vanished from your soul, you will never find out. Interestingly enough, some of them you will never find out. You build a company, it becomes so big. What? $500 million. You don't know that because you are an Orukuruku man. No, they call Orukuruku. No worry guy here. Uh-huh. Because of your Orukuruku. That was why you ended at 500 million. Where God was taking you was 30 billion. When they told me Circle City went bankrupt, I told my friend in America, I said, I knew they would go bankrupt. That their Orukuruku was too much. Buy something from Circle City, they will tell you, this computer is going special. $600. No, they'll tell you, the price is $600. You rush. Hey, look at good computer going for only $600. They say, that is after $200 rebate. You see, okay, now, rebate means money they will refund to you after you paid. You pay the $100, the $800, start waiting for $200. Then you will see somewhere in very small character that this is only paid back if you're above 7 feet, 10 inches. Now, they don't say that kind of thing, but they say something as silly as that. Like, I'm also the one, they will say that, sorry, only one rebate per household. Meanwhile, you have bought one, your brother has bought one, your wife has bought one, your first son has bought one because of the rebate. Then when you ask, but because you all gave the same address, they say, it's only one rebate per household. You now refund the four of you $200. I told you what matters, that people will look at you and say, you know, go better for you. Once they do like that, it is adding to your soul every day. When they told me they went bankrupt, I said, no wonder. Too much Orukuruku tended towards what? Bankruptcy. Something happened the other day. Let me just end with this story. Talk about integrity and honesty. I went to buy parts for my car. My car was telling you that it's at the mechanic. The man finished totaling all the money. Came to, let's say, 24,500 naira. So I counted it, I gave to him, I left.
I was not telling my wife, I was so excited about the things I bought because I thought I'd buy the radiator for 25, they gave me for 22. I called one other guy, he said, last price 25, and I'll come to buy for 25. But I went to this other shop, and he gave me for 22, so I was excited. So I'm not telling my wife, look at what I now bought. I bought this, bought this, bought this, all of them for that 25. But when I finished telling her everything, suddenly it didn't make sense that everything cannot be 24,005 now. So I quickly took the receipt, this small calculation, and I found out that it was 25,900, not what the young man has said. So I took the extra money and walked into the shop. I had not left. I was about to go, so I just came down. I just said, oh, sorry, you did small mistake in your arithmetic. It's supposed to be 25,900, not 24,900, like he said. He said 24,900. So I just showed it to him. Ah, so they said, thank you. The old man who was the shop was there. His wife was there. And the young boy who attended to me. So I just gave them the extra 1,000 and gave them the receipt to adjust it. And the woman said something. Ah, he said, thank you very much. Nobody will eat your money. Yeah. I looked at her and said, amen. Now, the way I responded, she had to laugh. Now, she didn't understand that. You see, I've been teaching these principles. So when she said that prayer, Job said, the soul of him that was about to perish blessed me. There's a difference between you are going to do somebody, oh, nobody will steal your money. And so, there's a difference between that and when somebody whose money you refuse to steal, do you get my point? Now blesses you in return and says, nobody will steal your money. No, I understood the spiritual principle. So I looked at her and said, amen. And she laughed and I walked away. Some people say, ah, now my luck. I say, which kind of bad luck? Yes, it's your luck. Your bad luck. I don't have time to tell you too many stories because my time is gone. Listen, honesty, integrity. Pay credit on time. Don't go and brag. I will never borrow. Listen to me. It is not you did not borrow that's the issue. It is the one you borrowed. Did you pay? Let me give you a minute to pray. All the onigbese wait they here. No, they call onigbese. That's Yoruba word for debtor. I don't mean you are owing somebody. Nothing wrong with owing somebody. Is that okay? Uh-huh. What is wrong is that you know last year you are hoping the man has forgotten. Even though he has forgotten. No, wait, bow down your head to pray. Want to pray. Ah, you think I'm joking? Ask for forgiveness. If you have nothing to say, don't bother. Don't bring judgment upon yourself for nothing. But if you remember, say, ah, that man, they owe money. Now, if you have money tomorrow, you go and pay. If you don't have, call the man. Remind him, you must do this one by tomorrow. There's a blessing attached to that obedience. I promise you that. Now, just say, Father, I thank you for your light. I want us to pray. Say, Father, I thank you for your light. I thank you for your forgiveness. I thank you for understanding. I thank you for favor. I feel like praying this prayer. Each person just say, favor is mine in the name of Jesus Christ. Say, he leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. I want to repeat that thing like 5 times. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. I follow the leading of God in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads me. Repeat that thing several times. It's so important. Get your soul into gear. Say, he leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Say, I'm a man or woman of integrity. I'm a woman of integrity. I'm a man of integrity. I don't cheat. I don't lie. I'm not a thief. I rebuke every stealing spirit inside me. I command it to come out in the name of Jesus. I wash my soul with the blood of Jesus. I wash my heart with the blood of Jesus. I am a person of integrity. Say, the righteousness of God dwells in me. I have been made righteous in Jesus Christ. I have been made righteous in Jesus Christ. I have been made righteous by the blood of Jesus. Declare it again. Say, favor is mine in the name of Jesus. Lift up your heads. I want to do this. Say, I'm a lucky man or I'm a lucky woman. I hope you know that is not... by now you understand what I mean by I'm a lucky man. Go and write it somewhere. Others won't understand. Just say, I'm a lucky man. It's so crucial. Say, I'm a lucky man. Look, listen, Jojo Okocha is not the best player Nigeria ever produced. He was just a lucky man. Are you getting my point? Kanu Wanko is not the most... Look, listen, Kanu Wanko played ball. And they said he had a heart problem. They treated his heart problem and sold him to a very expensive club. Now, are you getting my point? Listen to me, that is luck, in quote. You know what I mean by luck? It's a spiritual
force pushing you in the direction of blessing. Manco Van Basten was a very serious player. They changed the rules of international football because somebody injured Marco Van Basten. He went for one World Cup. Somebody gave him a stud. Broke his ligament in the knee. He never played ball again. Skill, forget that one. Tap your chest, say, I'm a lucky man, I'm a lucky woman. Yes, because you see, there are so many things inside. If God doesn't show you blessing, favor, you will never manifest. And what we are teaching is a path of what? Righteousness that leads into the center of God's blessing and God's favor. Tap your chest again, say, I'm a lucky man. I'm a lucky man. I'm a lucky woman. Tap your chest. In Jesus' name. So it shall be in all your experiences in life in the name of Jesus Christ. Chair of brethren, the word was, I can't take any questions as you can understand. I've shot by like 20 minutes, therefore.